Being the first Sunday of the month, when we observe the Lord's table, we are going to look at another aspect of the salvation that God has given to us. Today, our subject is redemption. The glory of God and redemption. Let's pray together, prepare our hearts for this study. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. We want to understand this so that we can explain it to others, so that our hearts will be full of understanding regarding truth, and we'll appreciate so much more deeply what you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Use this lesson to elevate our understanding and prepare our hearts for a very meaningful observance of the Lord's table. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with the concept of a hostage. The typical hostage situation goes something like this. A person is kidnapped. A price is set on the life of that person. And a ransom is demanded. If the ransom is paid, presumably the person is released. If the ransom is not paid, the kidnapped person is often killed. There are lots of hostage situations in our present day. We thought pirates were just something of colonial times, but there are present day pirates, and they capture people and demand ransom for their captives. One group demanded $120,000 for each member of the crew of a ship that they had taken captive. This is from Thursday, October 8th, 2015, published in The Guardian. Islamic State militants appear to have killed three Christian captives in Syria and are threatening to kill 200 more held hostage if their ransoms are not paid. And they were demanding $100,000 each for their captives. I think this idea of a hostage and a ransom demand is a good illustration of the situation of every member of the human race, as sin holds us hostage and demands a price to be paid to redeem us from that bondage. Of course, that price is the blood of Christ. This is the subject of redemption. First, we're going to talk about being held in bondage. And then we're going to talk about the impossibility of man redeeming himself. And then we'll talk about the price that Christ paid. Held in bondage. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The word sold can be used and is used in general terms in the scripture, but it is also used in reference to slavery. Matthew chapter 18 in the parable of the unjust servant. In verse 25 there it says, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Sold. We are sold under sin. And thus we become a bond slave of sin. John chapter 8 and verse 34. John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now you know in the scripture that there are a couple of different terms in the biblical language that are translated servant. One of them is diakonos or deacon, and we're familiar with that. But this is not that word. This is the doulos word, the slave word. It is used of one who is permanently in servitude and in subject to a master. As such, sin holds us in bondage, as it says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the bond slave of sin. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 is rather descriptive. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 describing how sin holds us in bondage. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. The word cords is the word rope, something that you tie up someone with. We're tied up with the cords of our sin, being held in bondage. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, when Jesus accomplished the work of redemption, it says he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And that word there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 is related to doulos, a similar word, the condition of a slave. We are in bondage, held tightly, tied up, and bound by sin. That bondage that we are in to sin is effective while we live here on this earth. Look in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. That bondage exists now in this present life as we live here on earth. Unredeemed people are in bondage as they live. And it says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Maybe you'll remember a couple years ago when we studied a biblical worldview and we talked about the rudiments of the world and a whole series of 15 of them. Those are now being published in the Rejoicing from the Hills, one by one. The rudiments of the world. The word rudiment and the word element are the same. Same from the same biblical word. Elements, rudiments of the world. We are in bondage under the elements or rudiments of the world. Bondage here, one who sustains a permanent servile relationship to another. The elements of the world, well, consider Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware lest any spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. These two verses describe the rudiments of the world as weak and beggarly. That is, the rudiments of the world, the elements of the world, make a person weak and make a poor person impoverished, poor, beggarly, impoverished, weak and poor, and spoil a man, rob him. That's what the word spoil here means. It's like the army that overtakes an enemy and takes the spoils. Okay? The rudiments of the world, the elements of the world, spoil a man, take everything from him. Just soak away everything, all your energy, all your willpower, everything, takes everything away from you and puts a man in total bondage, removes his freedom from him. That's where people are in the world today. In a totally lost and helpless condition. They think they're having a great time, and yet they are totally drained of everything that is of value. bondage to sin is effective in the life you live here on this earth. And the bondage to sin is effective in death. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Because the creature itself, the creature, that's the human body, the physical body, the creature. The creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Well, this put it in a positive light for a saved person, but without that, take away that aspect of salvation and what we have in Christ. And what is the condition? The creature itself is in the bondage of corruption. That means this, from the beginning, when Adam sinned, what did God say? From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. Consequently, we notice the effects of that as we get older and the body begins to break down, working towards death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Remember how 1 Corinthians 15 at the end of the chapter says, this corruption must put on incorruption. Well, that's what this is. This corruption, this is subject, this creature is in bondage of corruption. Interestingly, God used something in history as an illustration of all of this. You know, God is very much involved in every specific detail of our lives, but God also has this wonderful ability to see the big picture. And while he wants us to rely upon him on a daily basis for the details of our lives, he also wants us to see the big picture. Remember the Israelites in Egypt? What was the condition? Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. Start with verse 13 to read. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard, there it is, bondage. In mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Go over to chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel with the Egyptians, with whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered their covenant. Bondage, they're there, they're in bondage. They're in bondage in Egypt, and God uses that as an illustration. And we'll see each step of the way how what happened to the Israelites in Egypt is a particular illustration of the spiritual reality of the redemption we have in Jesus Christ. So, bondage, we start with that. That's where we are. And then we have the second point, and that is the impossibility of man redeeming himself. It is absolutely impossible for man to redeem himself. I mean, okay, the Israelites are in bondage. Why didn't they just get up and walk away? They couldn't, could they? They couldn't. They were in bondage. That's the whole idea of bondage. You can't just get up and walk away on your own. And so let's look. First, there's this question, Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. This important question that is asked. We'll just ask the question. The answer is here also. We'll come back to the question in a bit. But first ask the question, Romans chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Isn't that the question that should be asked of every person in this world that is in bondage to sin. Who's going to deliver me? Well, a lot of people ask that question and they say, well, I can deliver myself. And God says, no, you can't do that. It's impossible. Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious. The redemption of their soul is precious. The word precious means something that is appraised at a very high value. Why do we call them precious stones? Because they're very valuable. Why does he say the redemption of their soul is precious? Because there is a high price that is required in order to redeem a soul. Every attempt that man makes to save himself is unsuccessful. You remember over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said this, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then he said this, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now that's an interesting question. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, here in Psalm 49, it says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches." A lot of people think that they can buy their way into heaven. Oh yeah, there's religions, even some so-called Christian segments of religion that think that you can buy your way, that there are things that you can use to purchase your way into heaven. But I only read part of verse 8, and we have to look at the second part of verse 8, where it says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." That's a Hebrew idiom. Idioms are sometimes hard to grasp because they take a literal statement and it's figurative. We have lots of idioms in the English language. And every time I say that in the middle of a sermon, then my mind goes blank and I can't think of any right off the top of my head. But we have lots of idioms in the English language. And this is a Hebrew idiom. Brother Barnes gives us a hint as to what this means. Well, I won't read it. I'll just paraphrase it, tell you my understanding of this. Every attempt that a person makes to pay for the redemption of a human soul fails. Falls short and is insufficient. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Here people are trying to buy a soul, redeem a soul with wealth and riches, but it's impossible. Not by money, not by works, not by anything can we redeem ourselves as human beings. Would you look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 4? Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Every person who seeks to redeem his own soul or somebody else's soul by his own works, whether that's the payment of money or good deeds or whatever it is, every effort, every human effort to redeem a human soul only adds to the debt instead of decreasing it. Why? Because it's not based on faith. And the book of Romans says, whatever is not of faith is sin. All of this is egotistically motivated, selfishly motivated. I can do it myself, motivated. And God says, you're only making things worse with that kind of an attitude. It is absolutely impossible for man to redeem man. And just as Israel was in this plight in Egypt, in bondage, the only thing they had available to them was this. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. All they had was a cry. That's all they had. What good is that going to do them? How far is crying going to get them? They cried. They were groaning. They were in turmoil. They were in trouble. And they didn't have anything. And all they had was crying. That's all they had, was crying. Chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. All they could do was cry, because it was so terrible. And all we have is to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have nothing. We have nothing to pay. We have nothing to give. We have no way to earn a redemption. All we can do is cry in our sin, cry for help. So, how do we ever get free? Romans chapter 7, verse 24. I said we were here before, and there's a question here, and there's also the answer. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. The question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the answer comes in the very next verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to notice in verse 24 the substance of the question. Who shall deliver me? I find that interesting. It doesn't say what shall deliver me. It says who shall deliver me. Now, there is a what, and that's the blood of Christ, and we'll come to that. But there's only one who that has that. There's only one person that has the ability to deliver us and to redeem us from our bondage to sin. And so the question is correct. Who will deliver me? I can't deliver myself. It is absolutely impossible for man to deliver man. So who is going to deliver me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Took a price, but we were bought. We were bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repeated over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23. I don't know if you knew there's two different places where it says that. It says it again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. You are bought with a price. So what is the price? Well, we know the price is precious because remember Psalm 49 and verse 8? The redemption of their soul is precious. So it's something that is precious that was the price. And what does the scripture tell us? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We had the first part of that in verse 18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the, there it is, precious blood of Christ. Isn't that marvelous? The redemption of the soul is precious. Well, what is precious? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is precious. And the blood of Christ is what redeems us as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Several times in the New Testament, it repeats for us this marvelous truth. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Sometimes we Bible believers are referred to as bloody Christians. Yes. Washed in the blood. Because it's the blood of Christ that was precious enough to redeem our soul. You see, the blood of Christ was sufficient to satisfy God the Father. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. What a wonderful doctrinal word. God set Jesus Christ forth to be a propitiation through faith in his death? No. Well, yeah, but the verse says blood. It's the blood. You can't remove the blood and still have redemption because the blood is the price of redemption. The redemption of the soul was precious, and we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. What a marvelous truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How so? Because when he shed his blood on the mercy seat of the cross, God looked upon it and said, that's precious. It's enough. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. What did God use to redeem the Israelites from Egypt? You know, God did a lot of plagues upon Egypt. There were all kinds of things that happened. Let's see, there was water turned to blood. Did the Israelites leave after that? No. There was frogs. Did the Israelites leave after that? No. How about lice? Was that enough to get them out? No. flies. Which one of these would be enough for you to let people go? How about the sore on the cattle, the boils on the people, hail, locusts eating up all the crops, darkness so bad you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, you couldn't even move? Did Pharaoh let the people go after any of these? What did it take? The blood on the doorpost. When all of the firstborn of the Israelites were spared, and none of the firstborn of the Egyptians were spared, took the blood on the doorpost. Israel was in bondage. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't leave. They were in bondage. All they could do was cry because they were in such terrible straits. Oh, but the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, was the means of redeeming them from Egypt. We are in bondage to sin. And what can we do about it? Absolutely nothing. We can cry. We can call on the name of the Lord. But we can't do anything about it, because the redemption of the soul is precious. And not one of us has anything precious enough to pay the price. It took the precious blood of Christ to redeem us. The redemption provided by Jesus Christ is effective for us now as we live on earth. We are redeemed now. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have present tense. In whom we presently have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have it. We have it now. It's not something we have to wait for. It's something we have now. And the redemption provided by Jesus Christ is effective for us in death. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, as we read it earlier. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption that we have in Jesus Christ is effective now, and it is effective in death, because in death our bodies will be redeemed as well as our soul. The song says, praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Can you tell how much we owe him? What is the measure of the preciousness of the blood of Christ? Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Our theme for this year, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Well, notice what this verse says in relationship to our being redeemed in Jesus Christ. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because in light of the fact that we have been bought with a price, and we know that price is the precious blood of Christ, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, it is our reasonable service, in terms of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It is our reasonable service. In light of the fact that we have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, that our lives here on this earth, both in body and in spirit, glorify God. Will you commit yourself this day? If you're a person who has been bought with a price, if you're a person who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you have received Christ as your Savior. You have had the blood of Christ applied to your life. You are redeemed and bought with a price. Will you commit yourself this day in thanksgiving to what Jesus Christ has done for us? Because we can't really measure the value. What is that value, that preciousness? How rich is that? It's beyond our comprehension. Will you commit your life this day that in your physical being, and in your inner being, in both, you will seek in every way possible to turn all that you have become in Christ Jesus to glory for God. That when others observe your life, whether outwardly or inwardly, that you will do all you can to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and bring praise and glory to Him, because He bought you with His precious blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the price that was paid. It was precious. Oh, so precious. We had nothing to offer. All we could do is cry in our lost condition. And in our utter helplessness, Jesus paid the price. Thank you. Oh Lord, teach us, in light of having been bought with a price, teach us how to glorify you in body and in spirit. That others all around us may see the wonder of the precious blood of Christ that can redeem their soul as well. I pray in Jesus' name.